Each day seemed 100 years long. I could hear the river boiling over the sandbars as I sat at my desk, and I could smell the sticky sweet smell of the young poplar leaves. Our school stood right beside the river, and every now and then a flock of ducks would go over the playground, quack, quack, quacking, as if they were laughing at us for being stuck inside, while they were flying free across the wide prairie. What made it even worse for me was just sitting there wondering what my owls were doing. After school, I would jump on my bike and pedal like 40 over the bridge and down the street. When I got close to home, I'd give a couple of owl whoops to let Wall and Weeps know I was coming. By the time I skidded into the yard and parked my bike, they'd be tramping impatiently up and down to the cage. As soon as the door was open, they'd come waddling out as fast as they could, ready for play. Wall liked to scramble up on the back of an old lawn chair, and then he'd take a wild leap and try and land on my shoulder. If he missed, he would nosedive into the lawn, but it never bothered him much. He would hop back to the chair, climb up, try again, until finally he made my shoulder. Weeps was different. He never believed he could do anything by himself, so he would just sit on the lawn and whimper until I picked him up and put him on my other shoulder. I think Weeps's spirit must have been broken in the oil drum, because as long as I knew him, he was afraid of doing things. With both owls riding on my shoulders, I used to go down the street where our gang played games in an empty lot. Can the Can was a favorite game that spring, a sort of combination of baseball and football. We used an inflated rubber beach ball that belonged to Murray, and when all the kids got chasing it, Wall would get so excited he'd join in too. One time he got in the way of the ball just when someone kicked it, and it knocked the wind clean out of him. The next time the ball came near him, he made a jump and got hold of it with both sets of claws. There was a hissing noise, and the ball went limp. Wall was pleased as punch, but we weren't, because it was the only ball we had. All the kids except Bruce and Murray were a bit scared of the owls, so when I had them on my shoulders, I could go anywhere in Saskatoon and be safe as houses. Even the tough kids down by the flour mill kept their distance when I had the owls with me. Those owls were better bodyguards than tigers. Wall and Weeps grew fast. Weeps would eat anything he could get and still be hungry, but Wall was fussy about his food. At first, Wall would only eat cooked butcher's meat, hard-boiled eggs, and fig cookies. Later on, he'd eat anything that came from our table, even vegetables, all except parsnips, which he hated. Occasionally, both owls would eat a dead gopher that some kid had shot or snared as a present for them, but they didn't really like their supper raw. By the middle of June, when they were 3 months old, my new pets had reached full size. Wall was a little bit bigger than Weeps and stood about 2 feet high, but his wingspread was nearly 5 feet across. The claws of both were about an inch long and sharp as needles, and their big hooked beaks looked strong enough to open a tin can. Weeps was a normal owl color, sort of mottled brown. But Wall stayed almost pure white, with just a few black markings on his feathers. At night, he looked like a ghost. Although they were grown up now, neither of the owls seemed to know what his wings were for. Because they saw us walking around, they seemed to think they had to walk around too. Maybe if I'd been able to fly, they would have learned to fly a lot sooner. But the way things were, both owls tried to do what we kids did. They saw us climbing trees, so they took to climbing trees. It was pretty silly to watch Wall climbing. He used to really climb. First, he'd jump up to a low branch, and then he'd use his beak and his claws to half lift himself and half shinny to the next branch. My pigeons used to circle around sometimes and watch him. They must have thought he was crazy. People sometimes thought so too. One day, Wall was climbing a poplar in our front yard when a man and a woman stopped on the sidewalk and watched him, with their mouths open. Finally, the man said to me, "What on earth's the matter with that bird? Why doesn't he fly to the top of the tree?" "He can't, sir," I replied. "He never learned how." The man looked at me as if I were crazy too, and walked off without another word. The day Wall actually learned to fly was one I'll remember for a long time. He'd climbed a cottonwood in the backyard and had got way out on a thin little branch and couldn't get back. You never saw an owl look so unhappy. He kept teetering up and down on the end of the branch and hoo-hoo-hooing at me to come and get him out of his fix. Dad and Mother came out to see what was going on, and they started to laugh. Because who ever heard of a bird that couldn't get itself down out of a tree? But when people laughed at Wall, it hurt his feelings and upset him. What with the laughter and the fact that it was supper time and he was hungry, Wall got careless. Finally, he teetered a little too far forward and lost his balance. "Hoo-hoo!" he shrieked as he bounced through the branches towards the ground. Then all of a sudden, he spread his wings, and the next thing any of us knew, he was flying. Well, sort of flying. Not having done it before, he didn't really know what he was doing even then. You could tell he was just as surprised as we were. He came swooshing out of the tree like a rocket, and he seemed to be heading straight for me. But I ducked, and he pulled up and went shooting back into the air again. He was still hoo-hooing like mad when he stalled and slid back downward, tail first, and hit the ground with an awful thump. By that time, I was laughing so hard I had to lie on the grass and hold my stomach. When I looked up at last, it was to see Wall stomping into his cage. He was furious with us, all of us, and I couldn't persuade him to come out again until the next day. At supper that night, my father said, "You know, I don't believe that owl realizes that he's an owl. I believe he thinks he's a human being. You'll have to educate him, Billy." It wasn't quite as bad as that. Wall eventually did learn to fly pretty well, but he never seemed to like flying or to trust it. He still preferred to walk wherever he was going. Weeps never learned to fly at all. I tried to teach him how by throwing him off the garage roof, but he wouldn't try. He would just shut his eyes, give a hopeless kind of moan, and fall like a rock without even opening his wings. Weeps didn't believe he could fly, and that was that. Just before school ended, Wall learned a new trick which bothered me a lot. He discovered that if he took a good swipe at it with his claws, he could tear a hole in the chicken wire of the cage. Once he learned to do this, it was impossible to keep him penned up when he didn't want to be. This worried me because there was a lot of tough alley cats and tough dogs in Saskatoon. I was afraid if one of them ever got hold of Weeps or Wall when I wasn't around, that would be the end. After a look at the owl's claws and beaks, my mother said she thought it would be the end of any cat or dog that tackled Wall or Weeps, but I still worried. One night, Wall had a little argument with Mutt about a bone, and Wall got mad and wouldn't come down out of his tree to go to his cage at dusk. I called him and called him, but he just ignored me, and finally I had to go off to bed and leave him out. I slept pretty lightly that night, with one ear cocked for trouble, because I knew the cats would be about. Sure enough, just at dawn I heard a squawk and a scuffling sound outside. I hopped out of bed, grabbed my air gun, and whipped out of the house as fast as I could. Wall wasn't in the tree. In fact, there was no sign of him anywhere in the front yard. I raced around the corner to the back, expecting to find him dead and eaten, but instead I found him asleep on the back porch steps. He had his feathers ruffled out the way birds do when they're asleep, and it wasn't until I got right up to him that I saw the cat. Wall was sitting on it, and only its head and tail stuck out beneath his feathers, but enough was showing so I could see that this cat wasn't going to bother anybody anymore. I pulled Wall off, and he grumbled a bit. I think he'd found that cats made good foot warmers. It was a big ginger tomcat that lived two doors down the street and belonged to a big man who didn't like kids. The cat had been the terror of the birds, other cats, and even the dogs in our neighborhood for years. I got a shovel and buried it at the bottom of the garden. I suppose the cat had thought Wall was some new kind of chicken. Well, he found out differently. Dogs were no problem to my owls either. Though Mutt was no owl lover himself, he wouldn't let any strange dog chase them, not without a fight. Several times, he saved Weeps from a mauling. But he didn't need to look after Wall. There was a German shepherd who lived near us, and one day, this dog met Wall out walking and decided to see how horned owl tasted. I heard the ruckus and came running, but by the time I got to the street, Wall was sitting on the dog's back, digging his claws in for all he was worth, and ripping out chunks from the dog's ears with his beak. The shepherd headed down Spadina Avenue, yip, yip, yipping, till you could have heard him in Timbuktu. Wall rode him for 3 blocks, and might have ridden him right out of town if the dog hadn't dodged through a hole in a board fence and knocked Wall off. I chased after them on my bike, but by the time I got to the fence, Wall had picked himself up, given himself a shake or two to settle his feathers, and was his usual friendly self. He gave me a cheerful hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo and jumped up on the handlebars for a ride home. Word seemed to get around after that, and the neighborhood dogs took to crossing over to the other side of the road when they saw Wall coming.